Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We're now in Masechet Gittin, Perek Tshi'i, Mishnah Vav, which is on Pei Zayin, Amud Aleph. Shnei Gittin Shektavan Zeh B'Tzad Zeh. Let's say you have two Gittin that are written side by side. Ushnai Medim Ivrim Ba'im Mitachat Zeh L'Tachat Zeh. And you have Hebrew witnesses that are signed across both of them. And you have two witnesses underneath that that are signing in Greek, which means they're going from left to right, and therefore their own names, we assume, are under the left get, and their father's names at the end of their signature is under the right get. Whichever are the uppermost edim, which are closest to the get, whichever get their names are under, kasher. Now, but if it's Hebrew, Greek, and they cross over, then Shneihem Psulin. Now, we'll see what circumstances have to apply here for them to be really invalid. We assume the Hebrew slave is, aid is Reuven ben Yaakov. So it said, we assume that on under the right hand get, it says Reuven. And on the left one, it says Ben Yaakov Eid. And then under that, it's Shimon Ben Chaim Eid. V'hatnan Ben Ish Ploni Eid Kasher. That itself is good. If you sign without your first name, just Ben and your father's name, that's good. So each half is a valid signature. The answer is the Chatav Reuven Ben Akama. That the circumstance is where the right hand get has Reuven Ben, and the other one says Yaakov Eid. V'Yaakov Eid Abatra. V'likashor Hai B'Reuven Ben. Reuven Ben alone is good. If you just said Ploni Eid Kasher, and it says Yaakov Eid, but the problem is, of course, Yaakov is not the one signing it. Reuven is his son. So we're talking about a case where he wrote Reuven ben Yaakov. That's a valid signature, but Yaakov alone doesn't mean anything. It could even be where it said Yaakov Eid. But everybody knows that's not Yaakov's signature. It's his son's signature. So therefore, they know when it says Yaakov, that's only part of something larger, and it can't itself be the signature. Maybe he's signing using his father's name. So a person won't ignore their own name and use their father's name to sign. Maybe he turned his father's name into a logo for himself. And we have examples of that we saw earlier in Gittin. The Harav Tzir Kavra, Rav used to make a picture of a fish, boat and a sail. Rav Hanina Charuta, he used to make the image of a palm branch. Rav Chista would put a samech, Rav Hashai an ayin, Rav Huna Tzir Makuta, a sail. So the answer is Lochatzivinish Shavish Madavu Asimon, and nobody so chutzpahdik that they would turn their father's name into a logo for themselves. V'kasher Haibishne Edim Ivrim. So why don't we then say that the right hand get is kosher because of the two Hebrew Edim? V'kasher Haibishne Edim Yevanim, and the left hand get should be kosher because of the two Greek witnesses, the ones who are signing in Greek, left to right. Why? Because after all, they are not, there's no real break between the get and their signatures. If you have a get written in Hebrew and the Edim are Greek or vice versa, it's kosher. We'll see that in a minute. Because there's a two-line break between the end of the get and their signatures, that's no good. Chizkiah said that if you fill the space between the end of the get and the signature of the Edim with signatures of Krovim or something else, which is not valid, but is just there to make sure that nobody then sneaks in other stuff, then it's kasher. The whole reason that Edim have to sign very close to the end of the text and can't leave a space is because then we're afraid the fellow holding the star is going to come and add some more things in, like a few zeros. But here you have the two Edim Ivrim filling that space. So the answer is Hatani Ziri Shneim Ksherin. Ziri actually reads in our Mishnah that both the right and the left getin are kosher. Hatani did not, but our Tana who reads that the left one is pasul. So Dilma Gundalit Chatim, because perhaps one of the Greeks signed backwards. Kulo Acharu Dachtimi, which means perhaps all of them are signed on the right hand get, and maybe the Greeks are signing. You would say in Hebrew, Yaakov, Reuven ben Yaakov Eid, but really Yaakov is the fellow who's signing, and that all name is also under the right hand one. Alright, so then, Eidachad Ivri, Eidachad Yevani. The Mishnah then said, if you have one Ivri, one Yevani, going backwards, V'lit Kasher Hai Ba Eidachad Ivri, Eidachad Yevani. Why don't we have the right hand get be kosher with one Hebrew, one Greek, V'hai Ba Eidachad Ivri, Eidachad Yevani, and the same thing with the left. Tatnan, Eidachad Ivri, Eidachad Yevani, Kasher. Then the next Mishnah we're gonna read says, if you have one Greek and one Hebrew witness, then it's kosher. The answer is, Tani, Ziri, Shneim, Ksherim. So Ziri indeed reads that in our case, both the Gittin are kosher. Again, he's concerned that maybe one of the Greek guys was writing backwards, which means writing his father's name first, which would mean then three of them, or perhaps all four of them, are signed on one get, and only one or none are signed on the other get. So therefore, we can only go with the Hebrew ones that we recognize the where the name is, and as opposed to the patronym. Okay, the next Mishnah, Shi'er Miktzata Get Uchtavo B'daf Hashini. Let's say a fellow wrote a get, Sofer wrote a get, and it goes onto one column to the next column. V'aydim ilamata, and then the Adim are right underneath in the middle of the page on the second column. Then Kasher. Chatmu Adim B'rosh Hadaf, but let's say Adim signed on top of the page, or Min Hatzad, they signed on the side of the page, meaning perpendicular to the writing of the text. Oh, me'acharav, we get pashut. If it's a get pashut, not a get mekusher, and they signed on back, then pasul. All of those are pasul. He kifro shos shel zeh, betzad ro shos shel zeh. V'aydim ba'emtza. So let's say he wrote two gittin back to back so that the one get starts from the middle of the page down, then you turn it around, the other get starts in back of where the other one starts, so the two heads are in back of each other, written in opposite directions. V'aydim ba'emtza. And the aim signed in between the two beginnings. Then it's pasul, shnam psulim, because the edim are not next to the end of either get. Sofo shel zeh betzad sofo shel zeh. Let's say the opposite. Let's say you had two gittin written from opposite sides meeting in the middle, v'aydim ba'emtza, and the edim sign in the middle, etcha edim nikrim o kasher. Whichever direction the edim are signing from, the get above that is kasher. So if the one coming from the right-hand side, if you're looking at it from a two-dimensional angle, looking at them coming perpendicular to your vision, let's say the one coming to the right-hand side, if you were to read that straight up, the Adim would then read with that. That one is kosher, but not the other one. Rosho shel zeh betzad sovo shel zeh. Let's say you wrote eight gittin in sequence. V'aydim ba'emtza, and the Adim are in between the first and the second get. Etcha Adim nikrim sibesofo kosher. Only the top one is kosher because the Adim are underneath the top one. Now, get shektavo ivrit ve'edav yivani. This is already Mishnachet, beginning of Mishnachet. If a get was written, we just saw this in the Gemara, in Hebrew, and the Adim are Greek, or yivanit ve'edav ivrit, or vice versa, eidachad ivrit ve'edachad yivani, or one of each, katav sofer va'ed. We've seen this many times in the Gemara already, but now we're seeing it in the Mishnah. Katav sofer va'ed, which we think, the simple reading of it is, that the sofer wrote the get, and there's one aid on it, kasher. Ish ploni aid kasher. If an aid signs and just writes Yaakov aid, without a father's name, it's kasher. Ben ish ploni aid kasher. He writes Ben Yaakov, without his own name, aid kasher. Ish ploni ben ish ploni v'lo katav aid. He says Reuven ben Yaakov, without the word aid, that's also kasher. That's actually how the very pious, the very careful ones in Yerushalayim would write. They wouldn't write the word aid. They write their name, their father's name, and that's it. Now, katav chanichatov chanichata kasher. If he wrote a family nickname instead of his own name or hers, then that would be valid. We'll see what that may mean. All right, to the Gemara, going piece by piece through this. V'lechush doma hani tre giti havu. Why don't we concern ourselves that the get, the first case in the Mishnah, that goes from one column to the next, halfway through the next column, and the Adim are signed on the second column, why aren't we concerned that this is two halves of different gittin, and we really have nothing here, and the Adim signed on the second one, and we don't have the rest of that, and the first one has no signatures on it. The itramile zman de kama the adim de batra, and all we have is the zman of the first one and the adim of the second one. The gaz the zman de batra the adim de kama, and somehow the zman of the second one got cut off and everything before it, and the adim of the first one got cut off, and we have two half gittin, which of course amount to nothing. Amarav yab, amarav kashish ravach milamata. That's if there's a space underneath the first column, so it's clear that nothing got cut off there. There's margin there. The Dilma's man de batra megas gaias, but maybe the second one has is the second half of something. I pasted together. So then we apply the same thing. If on the second column there's some space above, so you know that you didn't cut something, and this isn't the middle of a sentence from something that you cut off, there's space up there. Maybe he changed his mind and he wrote it. So the answer is, you have to have a sentence that continues from one column to the next. So it says, Hare at, and then on the next column it says, Mutar l'chol adam. And that is so unlikely that that's two different gittin that got patched together. Now, that's one answer to how we can allow such a get that goes into a column and a half. You take a look at the parchment and you see that the way that it's stretched makes it clear that this was originally intended to be one piece and it wasn't cut out from two different pieces and pasted together. Alright, now we said, Chatmu Edim Barosh Adaf. We said if the Edim had signed on top of the page or on the side, it's invalid. Eini, Rav Chatim Yatzad, Rav used to sign on the side, meaning parallel to the text, perpendicular to the text. The answer is Hatam Mishagago Kopiaktav. That he would sign it so that the top of the letters were facing towards the text. And what we're referring to is the opposite, where the top of the letters face towards the edge of the parchment. So Al Hadikani, Kifor Shoshazabit Satra Shoshazabi Yidim Bayam Tsad, the text that we had, the statement in the Mishnah that said if you had back to back Gitin, where the heads were budding, as it were, against each other, abutting each other, Vaidim Bayam Sashnam Sulin. So, why don't we see which signature of the Edim is pointing towards the get? In other words, it was written in that same direction and allow it, because you said Rav used to sign on top of a page. The answer is Hatam Duramile Keibra. That we're talking about a case, that the Edim are written in such a way that it's clear that they are written right between the two gittin and they're not attached to either one of the gittin. They were attempted to be a sort of a bridge between the two gittin. And it's clear from that way, that's what we think at this point. Which means at this point we're ready to entertain the notion that if you had two gittin that were written back to back with the heads above the tops of the gittin abutting each other going in opposite directions and you had a signature that was clearly appended to one of the gittin, but it was in between them, so it was on top, that would be valid. That's what we think for a minute. We're going to fix this. We assume that the cases of the two gittin, back-to-back, front-to-back, front-to-front, that we have in the Mishnah are all similar type of signatures. And in the next clause, we said that if you have gittin written consecutively and Edim are in between them, then only the one above is kosher. But according to what you just said, that it's clear that the Edim are written in such a way that they're really meant to be a bridge between them, neither one of them should be kosher. Right? So the answer is, Ela Rav Bediski Avichatim. What would Rav sign his name on the perpendicular to the text? On letters, on Piske Alacha, on Chuvot, but not on Shtarot. On Shtarot he would only sign underneath, and that's the proper way, and so we were mistaken because we saw things that Rav signed that way, we didn't distinguish between what those were and Shtarot. Alright, Get Shektavo Ivrit. We said that if you had a get written Ivrit and was signed by Ivanit, etc. Katav Sofer Va'ed. And then we said the famous line, Katav Sofer Va'ed is kosher. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Chatam Sofer Shaninu. So famously, we have heard from Rav Yirmiyah a number of times, and Rav, of course, appropriated this approach, which is Katav Sofer means Chatam Sofer, meaning not that the Sofer wrote the get and there's one aid, but it means that there are two aidim, but one of the aidim is the Sofer, and that's kosher lechatchila. Amar Chista Hamani, so who could the author of this be? It must be Rabbi Yossi, because if you recall from the seventh paragraph, Rabbi Yossi says, Mili lo mimsaran l'shliach, that a charge cannot be handed over, which means a shaliach cannot come and say to anybody, you guys be the Edim. The husband said, you guys be the Edim. The husband has to say it himself, because what's our concern? Her husband might have said, you have the sofa right and have two other guys sign it. The guy who shows up is going to be embarrassed to tell the sofer he wasn't asked to be an aide. Instead, he'll ask the sofer to be one of the aidim. And that won't be the way the husband directed. It's really a puzzle get, but nobody knows. Therefore, this can only work according to Rabbi Yossi, who says you can never accept a second-hand direction of what to do. It has to be directly from the husband himself. Hahi ktubat chatanim. We have a ktubah. Da'atya lekame de Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu had such a ktubah come before him, for collection. And avuyadu le tofsa lechatimat yadad echad sahada. They recognize the writing of the tofes and the signature of one of the witnesses. Savar lachshura. They wanted to machshur it because they said katab sofer va'ed. You have the writing of the sofer and one aid that we know. Rav Yirmiya chatam sofer shanin. Rav Yirmiya was there and he said, you know what? That mishnah really reads chatam sofer, which means you always have to have two witnesses. The only chiddush is that if one of the witnesses is the sofer, it's still okay. All right, then we said katav chanichato v'chanichata. If you wrote the nickname, like a family name. Tanu Rabbanan, that's kosher. Chanichat avuha avot begitin, a family name, ad asar dorot, can go back 10 generations, it's still valid. Shemar lazar mal gimel dorot kosher. He says only 3 generations. Mikan ve'elach pasul, any earlier than that, a name that's been forgotten, and only 3 generations, and more than 3 generations back, meaning that the last 3 generations, nobody uses that name anymore in the family, pasul. Now this, of course, goes to a time when they didn't have last names, but there were certain names like Nasi or whatever it is that were associated with the family, and that was a way that the family was known. Alright, Kaman Azlahadam Rav Chanina. So then who then is the Tana that would be associated with this opinion of Chanina? Katav Chanichat Avot Begitin Ad Gimel Dorot. Only acts 3 generations. That's easy. Come on, Kram Shimon Elazar. Okay. Avuna Mikra, what's his proof text that it's 3 generations? Kitolid banim uvne vanim venoshantem ba'aretz. If you give birth to children and grandchildren, there's your 3 generations. And then you become sort of, old in the land or accustomed in the land. The idea is that for 3 generations you have your identity. If it's gone after 3 generations, then it's considered to be lost. Meshuban Levi. Now, we're going to pick up on that text because that text, which of course is the beginning of the Kriya on Tisha B'Av, it's from Parshat Vatchanan, is of course a very sad Kriya, which foretells the possibility of Am Yisrael abandoning the Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that follows from there. So, Zlo Chava Eretz Yisrael Ansha Avrub Avduba Zayin Batedin Avorazara. Eretz Yisrael was only destroyed after 7 Batedin, or 7 courts, as it were, did Avodah Zarah. Eilin, who is that? Yeravam ben Nevat, the first king of the north. Vasha ben Achiah, who took over that kingdom. Achav ben Omri. Omri, of course, is the next dynasty. Yehu ben Nimshi, another new dynasty. Ufekach ben Amaliyahu, Menachem ben Gadi. Vahoshea ben Elah, who is the last king of the north. Shinemar, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, says, Umlala yoledet hashiv'ah, nafcha nafsham ba'ashimsham ba'od yomam bosha v'chafara. Right, so again, the mention of the one that's given birth to the 7 is embarrassed and ashamed and etc. So now we go back to the pasuk and you're there for that period of time, and then you do avodah zarah, etc. And that, of course, a reference mainly to the kings of the north who were associated with that. Amar le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav. So they asked Rav, Ktiv baby Hoshea ben Elah. Hoshea ben Elah was the last king of the north. Says, Vayasa Rav ben Adonai Rokul Akol Kamachai Yisrael. He didn't do what was good in Hashem's eyes, but not as bad as the rest of the northern kings. Uchtiv Alav Allah Shalmaneser Vigomer. It was against him that Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, came and attacked. That was the destruction of the north. So Amar lehu Otan Pardasiot Shoshiv Ravam Al Hadrachim. What was it that Hoshea did that was not as bad as the rest? He took down, this is famously associated with Tu B'Av, he took down the roadblocks that Yeravam ben Nevat had put up to prevent people from making Aliyah L'Regel. Nonetheless, Am Yisrael did not make Aliyah L'Regel. So he says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, now that they have the opportunity to go and they don't go, Otan Shanim Shalo Alu Yisrael Eregel Yechub HaShebi, for the same amount of years that they did not make Aliyah Eregel, that's how long they'll go into captivity. Chista Amar Mar Ukva V'Amila Amar of Chista Darash Meremer. Remember, talk the following. My Dichti Vayishkod Adonai Al Ha'ave V'Alenu Ki Tzadik Adonai Aleinu. God was diligent about the evil and brought it on us because he's righteous. Because he's righteous, he was diligent to bring this evil on us. He did kindness with him, Israel. When Galut Sidkiyahu, in the year 586, was exiled to Babel, the remnants of Galut Yehoyachin, and really the leadership of Galut Yehoyachin, were still alive and powerful in Babel. And so there wasn't a gap, and there was an overlap sort of leadership. Dichtibe beGalut Yechoniah, as far as Galut Yechoniah of 597, 11 years earlier, it says Acharash v'masker elaf, that the artisans and the aristocracy were all taken. What is Acharash? Meaning shepashah shepotchin nasu akol kecherchin. Masker kevan shesogrin shuv einan niftachin. This is the drasha on that statement. Chershin, that the minute that they would begin to teach, everybody else became like deaf, as if they couldn't respond. And Masker is, the minute that they would be finished, nobody else could open up. They were great scholars. V'chama elef, 1,000 of them. So 1,000 scholars already went to Bavel, sort of to prepare the way for the later Galut. Ulamar shikdim shtei shanim. This is the drasha on the pasuk in Daniel. Tzadik, that Hashem is tzadik, that he exiled us 2 years before the Noshantem, because Noshantem is in Gematria, is Marachem Yaakov Shemamina Meheradam Amar Alma. When it says that Hashem will destroy you quickly, what does that mean? Tamne Mea 800 V'Chamshin 50 V'Tartehu 52. Now, what's the Gematria of Noshantem? As Rashi points out here, that 850. Years after they entered the land, they were exiled and didn't wait for the 852, which is Vavadatem Meherami Al Haaretz Hatova, because then they would be utterly destroyed. So by exiling us early, before we had completely become filled with sin, therefore we were able to survive and remain in our galut. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast on Daf Pechet Amud Bet at Get Meuseh B'Yisrael. Everyone should have a wonderful